Amen. Matthew's Gospel 28. We began last week the teaching, Are You Listening to God's Spirit? The art of listening is not a once and for all thing. It's, as we're going to see today, it's something that is a continual thing. The same way when it comes to the written word, you meditate day and night. Joshua 1:8 talks about the book of the law. And Psalm, the first Psalm says, Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In this law does he meditate day and night. And so if you have to meditate, think about it day and night, your attitude to the leading of the Spirit is not once and for all. Look at James 1. James 1:16 says, Don't err, my beloved brethren, for every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, or any turning. And he says, Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of the first fruits of his own creatures. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Therefore, laying apart of filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, receive with meekness. And that word received there is present continuous. Receive today, receive tomorrow, receive afterwards. The engrafted word, that is the implanted word, which is able to save the soul. Be ye doers of the word, which is not a past tense, it's a continuous word. And not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any be a hearer of the word, is likened unto a man who beholds his natural face in the mirror. Now notice that. And straightway goeth his way. And forgets. Now, the original word of that word forget means to lay it apart. Almost similar to what he says we should do to filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness in verse 21. And forget the man of man he was. But he said, whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty. Now, James is careful in the tenses that he uses. A present tense continuous, that is, you are looking today, keep looking tomorrow. Not being a forgetful hearer. So, the same attitude, as we're going to see later, it's required. You don't say, I listened to the Spirit of God in 1994. It's something you have to be listening, not just once. So in Matthew 28 and verse 18 to 20, where Jesus came and said to his disciples, all authority or power in the King James is given unto me in heaven and earth. He says, go ye therefore and make disciples or teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. Then verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Now, we of many stories we have been doing of late, we have taken on the word making disciples, which is where we have the word mathetuo, which implies the process of learning or of bringing someone into learning. And a good number of people might not understand that because of I believe that there's a whole lot that the first few months or a year upon when a man receives salvation, how he spends it is important. For example, somebody gets born again and the next thing they are doing for him in his church is how to keep him so that he doesn't leave the church. So they ensure that they bombard him with entertainment and all that he needs to not leave. He will always have that idea that his church holds him. So he will move from place to place looking for a church that suits his fancies. Well, the music is not good. I like the music here, you know. But discipleship is when you now become a student. A student. That is, you are actually the one learning. If your church holds you anything, it holds you the art of discipleship. So now, let's look at this scenario. The Luke 10:38, if you know the story, where we have Mary and Martha. It's Mary's house. Sorry, Martha's house. Mary is a sister. And then, it says, Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. And Luke is quite, you know, a fellow with his interpretation. When he says he sat at his feet, knowing fully well that he was a disciple of Paul, Saul of Tarsus, who in Acts 22 verse 3 says that he learned at the feet of Gamaliel. In other words, he's saying that Mary, of course, this is by the way, but he brings in an important element in what he says. That Mary was found in where women were not customarily found. What do I mean? Having listed the disciples of Jesus, the apostles already in Luke 9, and they were all men. In Luke 10, 70 people, we have no description. But right in the same Luke 10, which, of course, this is a bit debatable, but a few scholars that I believe in, they actually believe that the reason why he says what he says in Luke 10 is to let us see that she was one of the 70. Now, again, that's possible. But if anything he wants you to see is the fact that Jesus breaks the mold, that a woman was being trained. Now, when you use the word disciple is not somebody who just follows around. Disciple is someone you train to do what you are doing. So, if anyone is a disciple of Christ, that means he enlisted into the school to reproduce what Jesus was doing. No doubt. So, she is found at his feet means she's taking training. Now, observe something that, again, may become useful in this study. There's Jesus, and somewhere along the line, Martha misplaces priority. And she is not listening. She is working. And sometimes you think that's the right thing. You know, you're working. But she's actually not listening. So here we find Mary. She is listening. And more so, the word at his feet is more about submission to authority. Okay, of course. By the time you read the book of Acts, when it says they laid all at the apostles' feet, which we are going to read in the book of Acts, Acts 4:36, actually it's 37 and 35, at the apostles' feet. The meaning of that is that it's not that they put money where their legs were. It simply meant that if you had to give to anybody in the local church, you first of all had to give it to the apostles. So even in giving, there was a systematic way it was done. You had to submit to the pastor or the leadership of the church. Again, I've taught you before, that means that it takes away manipulation and all sorts of things. So, of course, manipulation either from the giver or from the receiver. And so that's why they will know who is taking what. You don't, the leadership of the church is supposed to give account of your giving. So you are not meant to just walk into the church and say, I was led by God to give you this thing. No. You are led by God within the church structure where you have the leadership. You go and say, well, I'm led by God to give so and so person. And now, okay, go ahead. You know, that's what is, not that the apostle will collect it, but just, oh, fine. Okay, fine. That's the apostle's feet. The fact that you submitted to authority. Now, again, don't forget, they now had the right to say, no, don't give it to that person. Because in 2 Thessalonians 3, they said, no, there are people who don't walk, and they're lazy, and they'll be a burden, say, don't give to them. That means that you don't owe or own the sole responsibility of giving. It still has to be done appropriately. So, in 1 Corinthians 16, Paul says, yes, you want to give to, remember in Acts 11 now, yeah? Every time they had to give to those who had need, either it's Acts 2 or Acts 4, nobody did it on his own. It was always done through the authority in the local church. So in Acts 6, that's why there was a complaint. Some people were neglected, you know, and all that. That's because it was done through the same channel of authority. Now, if you look at Acts 11 again, where there was a case of, they knew that the saints at Jerusalem needed help, what did they do? Everybody gave according to how he had ability, Acts 11:29, and then they gave it to Paul and Barnabas. So it's not that you just send it on your own. You know, no, it's not done like that. They gave it to them, who now took it to Jerusalem. And that was the pattern that was false. So in 1 Corinthians 16, it says, lay in store as God, which is what the King James, which is wrong, as you are prospered. So in Romans 15, when he says that it is their duty, it is your duty to give to the church in Jerusalem, you know, your own material things. It shows that there was authority over how they gave. You know, praise the Lord. So, at his feet there, meant that you are submitted to authority. So, laying all at the apostles' feet is the practice of giving in the local church. It's not the same thing as, that's why it's not the same thing as charity giving the way you just give hands on the road. No. When it comes to the body of Christ, everything we do in the body of Christ must follow the local church and the structure there. Does it make sense? Okay, I think we have a teaching on this, right? We have it, right? At the apostles' feet. Yeah, you can go and lay your hands on it. It's that right there for you to understand. So, which means that what Mary is doing here is that she's submitting to Christ's training. She's submitting to his authority. And that's the art of discipleship. So there is a sort of thing about you submitting. You learning. Now, when we talk about the leading of the Spirit, for example, I'm going to show you something later, practically from, you know, what I know, is that there is a submission first. You know, naturally, if you are going to have anyone lead you, no matter how right the person is, you first have to submit to it. So it's not just good enough to know all the teaching about leading, inward witness, understand visions and revelation. The primary thing is to you, or for you to first and foremost sit at his feet. That, well, I submit to the leading of the Spirit. And that's why I said earlier, it's not a once and for all thing, okay? It's a submission. And a good number of people, you see, you know, they are God said. Almost looks like they have a polytheism. It's like different gods are controlling them. They say, God said. You know, I've heard people say, and I said, but you told me, God told you. There are some folks like that. When they want to do what is horrible, they know who not to talk to. Because there are people that are going to remind you. You know, I told a friend one time, I said, but you told us, you know, you told us that this was what God told you. You know, this is what you told us. And of course, there's another teaching, maybe you have heard it before. They call it let me see how they say it, so that when you see it, you will detect it. They said there's what God said, all right, that is the foundational word. But you must also pay attention to the preceding word. And so they go into Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. You know, charismatics are very creative. That, and much of what they say that for is to disguise their disobedience. Now, I had someone who was preaching that. So we had a meeting. So I had a reason to accost him. I didn't go to him. So we now were having a discussion. And I reminded him, I said, but years ago, this was what you said. God told you. I said, I heard you on the pulpit and you told me one-on-one. He said, yes, you are right. I've been trying to get a hold of it. And I said, sir, the circumstances that you have surrounded yourself with shows you are not willing to do it. That is, if it is true, God told you, because me, I don't hear for people. I don't know how to. You said, I would never say God told you. I say, you said. You have to give account of what I say to. So, you have surrounded yourself with enough circumstances not to do it. It's not simple. It is even my servant brother talks. We were talking about something because we had a discussion along this line, you know. And we're discussing ministry generally. And he now said, we're talking about someone, and the person just suddenly wanted to travel abroad. And he said, he now asked the question. You started a church this year. Not 10 years ago. This year. In this city. And you made all of us come. Like the elders. We laid hands. Prophesying like Numbers 11. We're just prophesying. And seeing and speaking. Hey, the guy say, I know. But but this one, it had been there, it had been there before, you know, that when the opportunity now came, he now went to pray. You know, that prayer is a sin. What are you praying about? No, it's a sin, no. What were you praying about? God told you. You said God told you. Let me say it again. You started the church. And if you don't know anything at all, God doesn't joke with church. Because the lives of people were committed to your trust. So you started it. And then you now said, of course, economic reasons. Let me say what I want to say. Simple telling me, someone was telling me, he said, sir, I was praying about it. I want to go to mention the country. The country is a very good country. I said, bro, stop telling me divine guidance in going to that place. That place is better than Nigeria. I'm not a yesterday's kid. Even if it's yesterday, it's not yesterday's night. Yesterday night. You want to leave the country. Because it's a better place. You didn't come to say you were led to Sudan. give me another country. Maybe. Or Afghanistan. So, you are now led to a place where the economy is already led. I said, don't use that one. Do you understand? Me, I'm not part of the people you say God said that I'll be nodding my head. Put God out of it. Let us look at what you are saying. You are taking an economic decision. And it's not a sin. And it might be a sin. Before you say, thank you, Pastor. It's an economic decision. Okay? So all this while you are trying to pray about it, you know why you are praying. You know why you are praying. We'll find out. So, and that's the truth. Now, this is not in a way of discouraging anybody, no, from traveling or going out of his country, no. But the truth is, if you already had something God told you, according to what you said, why were you praying? There's nothing you are praying about. There are some things I don't pray about. Why are you praying about it? You get it. You know, somebody was telling me, there's about ministry. He said, sir, there's this opportunity. And he said, it looked very well. And he even compared what he was telling me to something someone did. Someone like Kenneth Hagin. So Kenneth Hagin, so, so, and so, and so, and so. He said, you are quiet. I said, I am. He said, but did I say anything that is wrong? I said, no, there's nothing wrong with what you're saying. Because I'm just thinking that this message, the word can go around. And it was a lovely way he said it. I said, you see, you just mentioned Kenneth Hagin. God told him. That's why he did it. It's not because he has done something. I have to do it. No. I have to be led by the Spirit of God. I know you want to push me into the corner of saying it will get the word of God out. I say I'm not the only one God called in the ministry. So everything that involves the ministry, I must be the one doing it. I must be in every nation. I must be in every city. I must be in everybody's house. No. I said, I am, even if I'm the body of Christ, right? I'm just a body of Christ. That's obvious from where I am now. Okay, you lost that. Pray for yourself. So I said, the truth is this. You know, there's this thing about knowing the difference between an ambition and God's spirit. An ambition. Have you ever discovered that virtually every Christian who is serious about the word always has this dream? They see themselves in front of crowd. If you have never dreamt that dream before, go and get saved. It's a normal dream. You just see yourself ministering to, I just saw myself, sir. Now, sincerely, see. I can tell you this, and I'm not lying. The number of people I have seen tell me that vision is not less than 500. I'm not joking, though. But they say, I just saw myself. Everybody sees themselves. You know why? There's nothing wrong in having that desire, and your dreams play it out for you. There are things that God can put in your heart to pray about, and you now go and do it. And it's for somebody else. I've seen God tell me before that it's not about you, it's for that person. Pray for him. You see, that's it. Or sometimes you think, it's me. No. So, there's a thing about you choosing to submit. Because you can be in this service now, and I'm teaching God's word, and you are here, and I'm teaching God's word, but you are not really ready to follow what I'm saying. It doesn't mean I'm not teaching. It doesn't mean you are not listening. You can even tell me what I said. So there is such the attitude of you now submitting. Is that submission that is the listening? So, just knowing what leading is. Years ago, I was an associate pastor. You know, interestingly, the person who made me an associate pastor, he came for one of the Bible schools we did then. Then he said, that I should come and assist him. So we did. So along the line, of course, when I assisted him, I knew that, of course, God wanted me to at that point. So we did. I had them organize the evangelism, the follow-up. I was leader of prayer, praise worship leader, workers, fellowship, everything, evangelism, everything. So, George was doing fine. As it were, having meetings and all that and all that. So, he now said that he had a dream. And he was describing the dream to me. And said, this is so and so and so and so and so. And then, I now said to him, it's a dream, sir. What about us, you know, just praying about it to find out what is in the inward witness? He just said, do these again, boys. You know, I saw him recently at an airport and we sat down, we were talking. We met very funnily. I just saw him, I was trying to get food. I was getting a guest, so we now sat down. We're both coming back to Nigeria. So we now sat down and I reminded him, he said, you've not changed now. You're again, team. He said, I've not changed, but you have left that church. That church that you saw so giant in your dream. He was not saying, you should never change. He said, that your mouth, you have not changed. But the reality was, I told him that time, I said, why not let's pray about it and find out what is in the inward witness. I said, I know the inward witness. No, inward witness, audible voice. Audible voice, still small voice, vision. I said, I know those things. You have known it. God should come and learn from you. But you are not doing it. See, you can write the book, Leading of the Spirit. The book. And people will get blessed. But you are not submissive to it. You can. So, like I was sharing with a minister friend, was it yesterday or today? I said there's a difference between being a student of the word because you are a preacher and being a preacher because you are a student. It is not the same thing. Being a student because you are a preacher or being a preacher because you are a student, they are two different things. You can be preaching or learning because you are preaching. But you can also be preaching because you are learning. It looks like I said the same thing. But think about it. They are miles apart. Miles apart. So, The thing is, you have to first of all want to listen and then want to follow God's leading. Amen. Oftentimes when people say they are hearing voices, they actually are. They are hearing the voices of their own confusion. Particularly when, you know, somebody, I was talking to a Christian one time. Well, I talk to Christians a lot. And then he says, this is exactly what you told me 5 years ago. I said, if you come back 5 years time, I'll repeat the same thing to you. Oftentimes, this is why people think they are hearing voices. Because the one he heard, he didn't follow through. And he's in disobedience to it. So he's now open, or she's now open to confusion or confusing words. So, first of all, understand the place of being submissive. Now, we know we read Jeremiah 10:23. Can't remember. He's not in man in his ways. Everybody accepts something that man is a product of influence. There is nothing you are doing that you are not influenced. Nothing. There is nothing you are doing that you are not influenced. I say it like this. Even the name you are bearing today, you were given. There is nothing you are doing that. So, first of all, forget this. How do the people say it? I'm a person of my own. How do they say it? There's this phrase like that. I've forgotten how to say it. I'm a man of myself. It's not true. We are all being led. Don't be, you see that statement in itself, I have my own convictions, I am a person of my, is actually another proof that you are being led. It's not unlikely you watch someone. It's not unlikely you heard a testimony. It's not unlikely that someone did something and it influenced you. Look at Ephesians 2. It says we're all dead. When I used to teach fulfilling your destiny in God, I think I asked that question last week. Did I? It's an old teaching. I taught it sometimes 97, I think 98, then 99, then again 2001. I taught it in this committee. I have. 2010 or something. It should be in your archives. Yes. It's a teaching I used to teach a lot. Fulfill your destiny in God. We say there's a destiny in the world, destiny in God. Never say whatever will be. That's how I usually start it. That there is a way the world leads you. It's a pattern. There's a way God leads you. It's a pattern. You are either on both paths. Now, in Ephesians 2, he says that you were dead in trespasses and sins. Let me ask you, did you know? If somebody says, you were dead. Say, me, no. Go for it, Barton. He says, you were dead in trespasses and sins. They say, never. Me, okay. Say, never. Nobody raised me from the dead. He says, and you walked according, verse 2, to the course of this world. That may not get your attention. Course of this world. Yes, I was in this world now. Actually, my nursery school, primary school, secondary school were in this world. He says, according to the prince of the power of the air. Eh? He says, I've never even gone to the air before. He says, the spirit that now walks in the children of disobedience. Among whom we all had our conversation, which is behavior, lifestyle, in time past, in the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, even as unto others. Would you have agreed on the face of it that you were being led? He would say, no. No. I took my decisions myself. I thought it through. No. The fact that you did not know is the power of that leading. You didn't know. You were led. You were led to think outside of God. So, which means that today, now, you ought to scrutinize your decisions. Knowing how ignorant you were about how you were led, then scrutinize your decisions. And you know, if you look back, well, I got born again early enough, but I suppose some of us got born again maybe later. You'll have said to yourself that, but I was a good guy. Oh, my decisions were lovely and all that. It says, no, you were a child of wrath. Interesting. You were a child of wrath. Particularly when, I'll come to this later, when your mind also was exposed to a me kind of gospel. What do I mean by that? You know, you got born again and they told you, you know, this is welcome to the good life. And you can have whatever you want. You can have, you know, and you say, yes. And like someone rightly said to me a couple of weeks back, he said the American Charismatic Church repackaged the American dream as the gospel. I've never heard many things that bullseye before. He said they just repackaged the American dream and they called it the gospel. So it's not unlikely that when you see a church flyer, you see people looking good. They will get the picture from anywhere, maybe the internet. Then you find people like this. And they will now say there that it's a church for everybody. Does that look like everybody? Are you following my point? Have you seen many who will say, okay, the church, and they will now show Christians the way you are looking? What did I just say? What did I just say? I know what I said. And you now show on the church line, you see somebody with slippers, somebody with good shoes, or another person with no shoe, and everybody can say, ah, you put that on flyer. Now let me ask you, if you saw that one on the flyer of the church, and they now put them there, they put beside, around the lordship of the world, what call? What how? You know, but really, that is what has been repackaged in our minds. Amen. Hope you are learning something. So you are led, you were led that way. The truth is, outside the gospel, humanity is selfish. Realize that. That is, even the good things you did, the good things you were doing, it was from selfishness. God made man in such a way that man must seek for him. So, all right. And then we said last week that, you know, Ephesians 5, that which makes manifest is what? Can you remember that? 14 or 13. That which doth makes manifest is light. So, going back to that Ephesians 2, which means that the reality of who I am and the reality of my decisions are either in the spirit or in the flesh. In the spirit or in the flesh. Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Let me say this very clearly. God does not lead you by circumstances. God doesn't lead you by circumstances. God doesn't lead you by circumstances. That's a very simple statement, but it requires that you think through it. It says the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching the innermost parts of his being. Of course, that really refers to, you know, scrutinizing the thoughts and all that. Knowing fully well that in redemption, if you talk today and say, where is the reality of the new creation? You will say it's in the spirit. Now, if the reality of the new creation is in the spirit, it definitely means that, what I'm saying there, some of you know it, but all of you probably know it, The leading of God is in the Spirit. As simple as it is, many of us get enthused by this fact. We love it. We probably even walked in it well. But it's very easy to lay aside. Then we might become very logical in how we do things. Very logical. We can become very logical, particularly where much of what you believe, and this is what let me just add this. This is why I became very careful of teaching who you are in Christ so strong, forgetting whose you are. It can become a me thing. I am, and lose sight of the fact that it is in identification that you are that. You are identified with someone. You don't stand as a new creation all by yourself. You don't stand as the Son of God all by yourself. You stand as the Son of God because of the Son. This is very vital. Because sometimes there is very little difference if you are not careful. So, knowing that God's leading and His dealings and the realities of salvation are found in the Spirit, that means you must train yourself to follow spiritual realities. You must train yourself to follow spiritual realities. Amen. You must train yourself to follow spiritual realities. Love is not an emotion. Neither should your emotions be your guide. Neither should your emotions be your guide. Your emotions are not reliable. You yourself, you know. Oftentimes, they are dependent on circumstances. For example, if somebody cracks a joke, not dry jokes, and then you don't laugh, you know, we look at you and say, is there a problem? Right? So, your emotions. For example, you are watching a football game. They score, you shout. It's not likely. I mean, something happened. I watched a short video. Lionel Messi and his son. They were watching the game they had with Real Betis on Saturday or Sunday. Of course, the boy was a small boy, so he didn't know who was who. So Real Betis now scored Barcelona. The boy said, yeah! So Suarez was with Messi and he looked, you look how you are about it. The boy didn't know what they were talking about. Somebody just scored. I didn't know whether I was daddy's enemy. But the point was, you just react. Oh, they score against you. Yeah. You can go, you know, if you're like brought down, you start to predict nonsense. I said it, this season is over. You know. Very, very dishonest person. But the point is, you know, where can I point out there? Okay, you have also begun to do like that. You began to act like you. You're also as untrustworthy. You know. But you know you react that way. Do you know that God's leading is not like that? Okay. Things go bad. You go, things go good. You go, God's leading can actually be opposite. So, you don't judge it. It's what Brother Higgins taught us back then about putting aside fleeces. A fleece like Gideon did. If this happens, then it means this. There are a good number of people. Let me tell you something. I remember Larry Emerson said this years back. He said that spiritual realities require constant practice. That you cannot say, I have known it. You have to keep knowing it. Now, why did he say it? You see, when it comes to the leading of the Spirit, it can't be something in your past. It's something that is present tense continuous. You know? So, sometimes you can get to, your emotions now lead you. There are people, for example, who were led by God to be with certain people in ministry. Then something that happened. Maybe the people did something they didn't like. And then they now, you know, say, ah. Then because of the person does something you don't like, or there's something happens, you know, you now start praying about it. But you were led there now. He said, pray, let me pray. And just pray about it. I've been praying. You deliberately wanted to hear something else. Because in God leading you, is not to please you. So you being pleased is not a proof of God's leading. So we can put out a fleece. A fleece. Someone told me, how I will know the person I will marry is that he will be a man of God. That one is very easy. He will be a man of God. He will be working for a living. Then he will know me supernaturally. Now, I said something on Sunday, I want to say again. She said it long enough, that thing happened. You know, I told you on Sunday how someone saw me and she said, well, we're speaking to her on the phone. She said that, well, the husband she married doesn't allow her, in fact, she doesn't need any persecution outside in the body. No. Our persecution is in the bedroom. And the guy is born again. He's right there in the bedroom. Do you understand? And the guy's argument is legit. He said, look, he didn't believe God to marry a minister. And you also told him the same thing. I know you're not in the mood that you know that God's will for your life is just to be a Christian. So why you got married? You're not saying you have leading. You have, every night you're going for evangelism, you follow, hey, madam, what's going on? So, she now, of course, they attend a good church and all that. She now felt, I now asked her a question. Because when we're talking, I must admit that I had the divinely gifted appearance. And I said, did you used to say, when you were younger in the university, that I can't marry a pastor, they don't come invite me into my privacy. I can't marry a pastor, they disturb my life. I can't, you said it long enough. She said, yes. She said, I said it till I left school, after school. I said, that's what happened. You said it long enough and it came to pass. She now said, can it be reversed? I'm not God, though. You know, you have to be careful. Don't give answers. I'm wise enough never to give some answers again. I just say, let's just trust God. That's a very open ticket. Very open. It's not in my mouth to hear that the teacher's mother has witchcraft. It's not me that will say it. When I was younger, I would have given an answer straight. Well, No. Even Jesus said, charge them, tell no man. So that they tell no man, you know, in the gospel. Many things I have to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. You know how scripture. When he, the spirit of truth, is come. So, is there anything? You may say, amen. So, there's a sense in which where you watch even things that you say. See, it's a law. You have what you say. So I said to her, I said, you must have said this thing long enough. You know, you said it long enough. So there are people that actually put out fleeces. If it doesn't work, it means it's not of God. If it works, it's of God. That's foolish. So don't put out a fleece. Don't put out the fleece. Don't say at this time. Someone was telling me, I said that at this age I must have, at this age. Why should you say that? Why not say something the old Christians will say? Well, if it's God's will, that shouldn't leave your mouth. I'm talking about, don't say something like, I'll get healed if it's God's will. No. That's not what we're talking about. You know, if it's God's will, does God want me to do this? So, well, I just trust God, He will lead me. I trust God, He'll tell me what to do. You know, it's safer saying things that way. And don't start learning the leading of the Spirit under pressure. Make sure it is something you are learning normally and you walk in normally. I say it like this: learn His leading in the little things, as it were. So that when you want to take major decisions, marriage, place of residence, ministry, location, different things like that, you are not under pressure. Amen. Are you following what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So, let's get back to that narrative. You didn't know you were being led, but you actually were being led. You didn't know. For you, you thought you were the one making the choices. But you just said so that you walked according to the course of this world. You almost deny what I'm saying. If they told you when you were an unbeliever that you were a temple of idols, you can bring out a cutlass. Me? Idols? Where? I was never a temple of idols. Yes, I didn't believe the gospel. I was still looking at the Christians. Well, I was never a temple of idols. Okay? You were. I thought you were. So, you must accept the word of God as reality. So we said that, therefore, the spirit or in the spirit is where all of God's dealings are. All of God's dealings. A friend of mine defines spirit as from that which issues forth, animating force. So, three things the spirit shows to us. Number one, it's in the spirit we have conduct, good conduct. Walk in the spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. Walk in the spirit. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. So Christian conduct is in the spirit. Inspiration is in the spirit. Obviously, direction is in the spirit. Inspiration is in the spirit, and direction is in the spirit. Look at how we are called. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the spirit of God is in you? Now, the word temple there is different from the use of temple that Paul will now use in chapter 9 verse 13. Those that live at the temple, don't eat of the things of the altar. Of the temple, sorry. Now, he uses two words. One of them has to do with the building, which is the one he used in 1 Corinthians 9:13. But the one he uses here, 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 6:19, is the word nahos. N-A-O-S. It means actual dwelling. Actual dwelling. Actual dwelling. So, if God actually dwells in me, that means that, okay, let me use a simple illustration. If you are here, you are seated just at the edge of the door, and then I now decide to go and listen to you outside. I'm now running vigorously. You are there. You know, no matter how effective I am at going outside, running around this building, I won't hear what you are saying. Because you are not there, you are here. If they ask you, where is God? Where would you say? In me. Okay? They say, where is God's dwelling place? You say here. So the question should be, if he's going to talk to you, where is he going to talk to you from? So, since you know where he dwells, therefore, you shouldn't in any way be confused on where he's going to speak. If they ask you two places that you are 100% sure of where God dwells, you will say he's in the written word. Because in the written word is where he spells out his purpose, plan, and character. Then you say he lives in me. Of course, the second one is because of the first one. Which means that to follow God, there are two surest things. Two surest. The written word. It therefore means that every time I am in church or among believers or I'm at home or I'm privately somewhere and I am feeding on the word, I am feeding on God's voice. Now, of course, when I say that, I mean the scriptures are well explained and so on and so forth. Now, that will help me recognize his leading. If I will hear, I will hear in the spirit. And in the spirit refers to me being the temple of God. It looks very simple, but as simple as it is, we often forget it. The leading of the spirit, all right, can have an emotion to it, but it is not an emotion. I feel bad. I feel good. None of them is God's leading. Sometimes the reason why I feel good is because what I feel good about is wrong. Sometimes the reason why I felt bad is because what I felt bad is the right thing. So your emotions are the wrongest guide to anything. Get that one very clear. Another thing is, whether things turned out fine or not, is not a proof that what you did was right. Not at all. I've said it many times, the proof of obedience is the obedience itself. Let's go further. So, now, I believe next week I will take it into some details of the leading of the Spirit, but look at something. We therefore will zero in that God leads by His Spirit. Okay, let's look at the written word. The written word is a product of God's Spirit. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. And the word inspiration of God is the word of, is the word pneutistos. Two words together. Pneutistos simply means God blowing. T-H-E-O, then neo, P-N-E-O. P-N-E-O source means to blow. It's the same word in John 3:8. The Spirit. In 1 Peter 1, Peter also talks about the scriptures. And he says, of which salvation the prophets inquired, when they prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. He says, and but the Spirit which was in them did testify beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. 1 Peter 9:10. In 2 Peter 1, verse 21, he says, the prophecy, talking about the scripture, came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter 1:21. Verse 20 says, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in the old time, verse 21, by the will of man or man. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So which means that what we even call the word, all right, when we say it's the word, it is still the voice of the Spirit. The walk of the Spirit. The word is the walk of the Spirit. In Luke 24, when Jesus told those folks, O fools, 25, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. The word prophetese means inspire to speak. Pro, to speak ahead, but to be inspired to speak. A couple of things being put there. To speak on behalf of God or a deity. To be a spokesperson of a deity. So which means that, what is the written word is still the Spirit of God. Which means, even if I hear no voice, okay, even if there is no voice to hear, that is, which, well, believers do hear the voice, but even if there is nothing to hear, I have the voice in the written word. What it also means is, when I have the written word, then I'm praying about it. Now, sometimes I can pray about specifics. Specifics. You know, just be specific. But when I have the written word, then I go praying. I'm looking for what is not lost. I'm looking for what is not lost. And I go praying. I'm simply looking for what is not lost. Now, I knew this years back. I've said the story before. Let me add a bit to that story. Years ago, of course, being a younger minister, we're involved in ministry. Then I had this very strange crisis. Experience with believers. There was a whole lot of, betrayals. There were people that said things I didn't like. It was very bad. Very bad. Because I was quite younger. This is 23 years ago. And it was very bad. Of course, I felt really bad. There are times you sit down, you are just quiet. And you really felt bad. The thoughts of suicide came into my mind. Not just that came into my mind. It actually became something I wanted to do. Not just that I actually did it. Let me say it well. I did. Now, of course, some happened and I'm still here. I won't tell you what I did. So, I'm not supposed to be giving you such examples. So, often, as I said, the thing is, I was feeling bad. And very, very bad. So, I said, I was young in ministry. I felt, what is the ministry about? If this is all that it will be about. I said, let me just leave Nigeria. The most important thing is to just love God. You start to say, and serve God. The only way I get to, I'll just love God. I'll just serve God. I'll just love God. I'll just serve God. After all, even as an unbeliever, I wasn't doing bad things. As a younger Christian, I wasn't doing bad things. I'll just love God. I'll just serve God. And I already have read a lot of Kenneth Hagin books. I have E.W. King. I just read them. In fact, even my own friends who were not around what happened, I said, how will I even trust this one? Let me just love God. This is about you and God. And it's a sign. God is saying something. And I was logical. And someone that had never come to Nigeria in almost 10 years was working for a international organization. And he had this, thing that he would come to Nigeria, take people for studies in the United Kingdom and parts of the Commonwealth. It was written to my mom. He just showed up at that time. At that material point in time. Now, I'll say something later. And then he brought the offer. There's nothing that justifies all things working together for good. I don't link these two stories together. I usually say them separately. But I'm bringing them together for you. So it just happened at the same time. I know the funny thing. I was praying. So it just working fine. I was praying. But the moment he gave that offer, as he said that offer, in fact, he just said, and then we had a strike in universities then. If you knew, there was this long strike, then there was a strike. So everything was just fine. And I was still trying to cross from one university to another. So it was like, okay, this is a very green light, and he gave me three offers. There was one he got from Curtin University of Technology in Australia. He brought that one. He said, this one, we already have this grant. This one, so you can take this one, this one. So if it was working fine, emotionally I was on the high. Yeah. Then in my mind, all those guys that gave me problems in ministry, I will show them. The next thing you just hear is in the abroad. That kind of thinking that you have triumphed over them. Do you get it? Everything was working together for my good. So I just said, at that point, I just said I wasn't going to pray about it again. After pray about what? But thank God, I just believe people were praying for me. When I sit back and see some things I would have done, I said, somebody must have, who is that somebody? I don't know. But I just said to myself, that was not what God told you. There are times you come to that point, and another thing was, I now, mistakenly, I attended one of the Holy Ghost meetings with my friends, and there's something amongst us. We serve things. So they didn't say anything. They didn't even know. He just said something by the Spirit. I got a hold of it. Then I remember that day. As I stepped out of that meeting. We finished around 2 a.m. or 3. As I stepped away from that meeting, there was just this thing about, you are going to miss all of this. Now, You won't understand that. That didn't mean I can't. You just said yourself, you know, Holy Ghost. I can start another one where I am now. It's not Holy Ghost concerning. I just knew. So, myself, my mom, one of our friends, we had planned, okay, we'll do this, do that, prepare the documents, then go with my, it's a distant uncle, kind of. So, I just saw that I wasn't going again. She looked at me, like, ah. You know, you have discussed something well. It's not that she wasn't the one, she didn't force me, oh. In fact, it was the other way around. They just said no. Ha. She said, what happened? I said, it's not God's will. I didn't try to say I don't feel good. No, don't lie. It's not God's will. It's not. I don't know what year I reminded her. This is how funny it is for you to be stupid. I reminded her. She practically forgot that kind of thing happened. It's not her life. It's your own. And I reminded her, oh, when doctor said yes. So I was, oh, yes. Hey, what happened then? I said, hey. So I would have missed God. And she was just taking this decision. Like, he just traveled. You know? Now, oftentimes you don't know the implication. We'll get to heaven many times, and I don't pray that for you, to know the cost of the things we did. Now, you are all here. You are listening to me now because I did not go. Do you know that? As simple as that decision was, you are here today. Now, imagine many things. Just many, many other things. Look at the events that now happened afterwards. And at that point, I mean, it was funny. It was funny. I'll get to the other details later. Let me stop there. You may not know the implication. Sometimes not even in the world. It will be after life, earthly life, that you find out. Hope you are following what I'm saying. One time like that, when I was to go to law school, my dad told me, he knew me. Of course, he now said, I'm just praying that they keep you in Lagos. I said, why? I know you won't leave Lagos. Because it had happened before. He said, I'm just praying. I said, keep praying. So when they say it's Lagos, I said, it's Lagos. I said, oh! He said, so you will go. Say, because if they put you anywhere, I know you. Because your church is here, your ministry is here, you will not go. He said, I know you won't go anywhere. I said, hey, you prayed now. So I also prayed. And we're all prayerful. You know, what if you started praying about it? Praying about what? What are you praying about? Did God tell you before the offer came? No. What did God tell you before the offer came? This. So God is also surprised at the offer. He seems to like the offer. God saying, I know I told you this, but let's think about this thing well. You know you don't have much money. You know, let's look at it too. This thing is once in a lifetime. You know me, I'm God, I'm telling you. From my experience as God, I can tell you. Opportunity knocks but once. That's from my experience as God. I can tell you this. You know? Sometimes we want to rope God into our desires. No. So, you know, that's why, see, no matter who you are trying to blame, no matter what you are trying to blame, you will be responsible for what you are doing. Now, don't forget again that you are not responsible for what you are doing because you are being led. Yet, you will be responsible for who you listen to or what you listen to. So, let's look at a few things. Hope you are learning something. Look at what Jesus now said about what the Holy Ghost said in the Old Testament. Matthew 11:25. You have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. You know, the wise and the prudent are those who are sophisticated, logical. They deal with data. Someone was telling me about ministry. He said data. He said it is discovered that most people prefer pictures than reading. Most people, their attention span. He said they did this. He gave me a lot of data. He said the data. He said he said Pastor Chris, people believe in your ministry. He said they believe in your ministry. He said if you do live stream, say if you do live stream of your services, in fact, somebody called me from Mauritius. I think it was some before camp meeting. He said, sir, see if you know the kind of crowd you have. And he said, he gave me statistics. So the guy said, if you can just do podcast, 5-30 seconds. Hallelujah. This is the word of God for you today. There's nobody like you. Step into your. I said, he said, they discovered that people have, they follow, he said all those things. I said, it's good. I said, I found out too. He said, you know, and you look at, you know, TV, radio, internet, he broke it down for me and said that. I said, we're not led. Led? No, you see, God doesn't lead by data. It's not because the data is correct. You see, data. Both. Data. It doesn't lead that way. Now, does it mean that those who do live streaming their services are right? Are wrong? No. But I have to pray about it. A guy told me, I've forgotten the year now. He said, you know something? You know what you are teaching, if you can put it in a book form, the way it will go round. He says he's an international publisher. That if I just give, I've known him anyway since. If I do this, he mentioned the ministry he did before. I said, the first year I didn't listen to him. Second year, third year, fourth year, he will ask me for materials. He will take my permission to take my post on Facebook and put it somewhere. I said, go ahead and do it. I said, but why are you not using it? I said, I'm not led to do it yet. So, one day he now called me. He said, you are something else. When you now started releasing books, it's like you are doing like a popcorn machine. I said, when I'm led, I go all out for it. I said, it's not you that will tell me what to do. At this age, no. If somebody now leads me, then I should go to hell. Not just hell. Second death. No. After how many years in Christ? No. Oga, I'll pray about it. Like a business partner used to say in those days. When he say, sir, we have to sign this thing. He said, if you don't sign it, will the heavens crash? I said, no. He said, go and sleep. By the time you wake up, it's tomorrow. Let you go and sleep. By tomorrow, it will be tomorrow. If it doesn't done now, it's not done now. World War 4 will happen. World War 3. If it doesn't happen now, the world will crash. Cool down. Just wait. I said, and the reason why we did it, because in 2015, God told us. He spoke to us. And we're led. Look at that year. That was the year we put Living Word Media. It became free downloads. The same year. The year after I started doing books. It's not that we didn't have people to read it before. No. It's just being led. The way we are, if God says, stop, I won't pray about it. That is stop. So, when he says, he has hidden these things from the prudent and the wise, don't be too wise in your eyes. Paul says that, you know, look at the wisdom of this world calls God's wisdom foolishness. That should guard your heart. You know, it's easy to think that the Jews were funny. But the point is that the way God does things, he's not looking, what did he use to save us? A cross. A suffering servant. Everything didn't make sense. God's leading sometimes, many times, won't make sense. It won't make any kind of sense. When I took up a pastor some 21 years ago, it was attractive. Now, there are some checks and balances you can also give yourself. From the day I knew that the reason why I was doing the pastoring for them was so that I would stabilize the flock. Okay? which shows that there's usually a limit to do things like that. So I told them, I took it up in January. So I said, by May 20, 1998, I will stop pastoring this place. My friends had been looking forward to us doing a meeting with them. They said, ah, check, you know what, we can do this, we can do this, you can do that, you know, that miracle extraordinary, Holy Ghost, glory of God meetings, we can do it there. You know, there's more people. I just look at them. Like I said earlier, May 20. In fact, by the time they finished saying that, I didn't invite any of them. Because it will be trouble. So I said, okay. So I kept telling them May 20. And everything was going smoothly. Going smoothly. So I said, no, that May 20 is because he thinks he can't work with us. They thought it was logical. He thinks he can't work with us. He can't work with us. So I said, they didn't know. On that May 20, we now had a meeting. And I finished preaching the meeting. I said, like I said, today is the last day. I didn't say it the day before. So that nobody will come and call me. It was that day I said it. And like I said, I'm not coming back here again. I said, if you invite me in the next 10 years, I won't come. I said, did you do anything wrong? I said, no. It's if I stayed, I will do something that is wrong. And who did I go to meet? A ministry that was less than half of the music team. But aren't you glad I did? That's why I'm here today. So, don't set yourself up. You just set yourself up. You now get involved in something that will make sure that you don't hear God again. And what you are going to do will be godly. I said no. I said May the 20th. In fact, that was the church I first preached reality of Christianity. I know what again. Let me shock you. I said they must never record it. So it doesn't even become something that is now a teaching series. You are taking over the place. It's blessing us. No. If you didn't come, you didn't come. I did everything for doubt in God's will to be possible. So there is a willingness. Now, I thank God I'm not going to say this in the past. It's going to be something I'll be doing in the present and in the future. I often tell you, the most disastrous thing a Christian can do is to do efficiently what he ought not to have done at all. Who told you to do it? Who told you? A guy said, hey, sir, they're giving me this, they're giving me that. Did you pray? Did God tell you before you applied? You applied, they now gave you, you are now asking. Go ahead now. You have set yourself up already. So, God's wisdom is hidden from the smart people. Smart. You know your way around. You know how to calculate things. Hear this very well. Human smartness is oftentimes the work of the flesh. When it doesn't acknowledge God's leading, it's the work of the flesh. So, what did Jesus say? O fool, slow of heart, to believe, Luke 24:25, all that the prophets have spoken. You have to learn to trust God's leading. What did I say? Trust is leading. Trust is leading. I have never in a long time, don't let me make a boast, because I don't want to say absolutely, seen what someone is doing in the ministry. And I wish I was the one doing it. No. At all. I trust what God is doing. And I trust it. I trust how He's leading me. And I trust what He's leading me to do. I don't wish I was doing something else. Nope. 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 No. Nope. Not at all. Not at all. Someone told me, Living World Media. He said, you know what? I'm just thinking, it's not that we want to make a merchandise of the same, but if you are having this number of downloads a month, just for the sake of the ministry, if we can just look at 5 naira per download, just five naira, you know, 5 naira really doesn't make anything. I said, God didn't lead us to do that. What he led us to do is what we're doing. Say, I know, I'm not saying you should disobey God like that. But just 5 naira. No. Now, do you think it's not attractive? It is. But you must make up your mind to hear God. And not just hear what he said last week. What he said last week is what he's going to say this week. So keep hearing the same thing. Hear it. So all fools love had to believe. So we said last week that the babe is an attitude. Can you remember? It's an attitude. An attitude of innocence. Lord, I don't know anything. You are the one that knows tomorrow. You are the one that knows who I should meet and who I should not meet. You are the one that knows where I should go and where I shouldn't go to. You are the one who knows it. You are the one who knows it. You are the one. I mean, I was telling Brotos this. I said, years ago, virtually everything you are doing now, you knew you were going to do it. When you didn't even have transport fare. I mean, we used to pray in tongues a lot, taking strolls. It's not just because it was an exercise, because there was no money. I've seen him walk from Ibadan, close to Abeokuta in tongues. It's not he was led, though. He was going to preach somewhere, but he didn't have the money to go. And he walked. I think we have had those days. So you were born out of those tough situations. And you said what was going to happen. You spoke about Rema India, when Rema did not have a plan to go to India. You spoke about Rema coming to Nigeria where it was not a plan. It was not even in their plan when he said it. You said this, you said this, you said that. You know, that is, you are led by the Spirit of God. And I said to him, I said, now, the organization is, you are there now. Don't forget how you used to be led. Nothing must change. That's how we talk to ourselves. Nothing must change. You know, you can get to a place, you think that you just needed leading for yesterday. No, even today and tomorrow. Nothing must change. Now that you're popular, people know you, people hear you, nothing must change. You must still be as trusting as you were to God's Spirit. Don't become the wise and the prudent. Remain a babe. What did I say? Remain a babe. In hearing from God. In hearing from God. Don't drop the attitude of being slow and not fast. In Acts 27, when the angel spoke to Paul, Paul says in verse 23, the angel of God whom I serve, of whose I am, and of whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, but thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all that I will say with thee. Say, well, sir, be of good cheer, for I believe God. You say, I believe God, that it will be done as it was said to me. I believe God. You see, you must believe in his leading. I believe God. That's what he told me to do. I believe God. When you are covetous or envious of people, it's because you are in the flesh. You are in the flesh. You are in the flesh. The thing about it is that even when you bring those good ideas for me in ministry, I just laugh. It doesn't even attract me. I just say, you know what? Don't worry. Don't worry. We'll pray about it. Let's pray about it. Let's just pray about it. If that's when I say let's pray about it, it's because I respect you. I don't want you to feel bad. But if you're not one of the people I really respect, I just say I'm not doing it. Say, well, I'm not led. Now, would it bless the body of Christ? Yes. But why would I bless the body of Christ? Then at the end of the day, I become disqualified. Sometimes you are doing what God wanted somebody else to do. And that's because it was all about you. 1 Peter 1:14, Peter says, as obedient children, say, I'm an obedient child. So you are actually obedient. We are obedient from the point of believing the gospel. And we follow in that pattern as faithful people. So we walk in the Spirit. Get used to things in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, Galatians 5:25. Paul says, when you speak with tongues, your spirit prays. Your understanding is unfruitful. 1 Corinthians 14:14. Howbeit, I was praying the Spirit for 15. I'll pray with the understanding also. 1 Corinthians 14:2. He that speaks in tongues speaks not to men but to God. For no man understands. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. If I know, for example, that walking in love is walking in the Spirit, then I'll walk in love more. If I know that talking in tongues is speaking in the Spirit, then I'll speak with tongues the more. I must learn to do things more by the Spirit. Learn it. To do things more by the Spirit. Don't get too logical. Don't get too calculative. Romans 8:14-16. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 15, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, hereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, of course, 14 is talking about salvation. You are led. You are taken from the flesh to the Spirit. 16 now says, he bears witness. Some material in the Greek. Some material. S-U-M. M-A-T-E-R-E-O. Thereabout. Some material. It means an enhanced confirmation. It's an active word. Which means that in my daily life, I have a witness of the Spirit that I ought to follow. I have a prayer in the Spirit. I have a walk in the Spirit. I also have a witness of the Spirit. I must never be found leaving the path of the Spirit. Never forget the Spirit and the flesh lost after each other. Oftentimes, what is of the Spirit may look illogical. So you learn to be led by the Spirit. Now let me say something. There is no time you were led by God's Spirit that you did not know. You knew. It might just be a battle of what you thought you wanted God wanted you to do. It might be a battle of your desires. But to say you didn't know, you knew. See how John wrote to the church. He spoke about he said, they went from among us. Oh, they were not of us. Said for there was, they will have remained with us. But they went out so that it might be made manifest that they were not of us. Said, but you have an unction. He's talking to the whole church. And that letter was to quite a vast number of churches. He said, you have an unction from the Holy One. 1 John 2:20. And you know all things. Now, he's talking about false prophets or those who were not preaching the gospel. He now says, you have an unction from the Holy One that you know all things. In 27, he says, the anointing, the same Greek word, that you have received of him abides in you. And you need not that any man teach you. For the same anointing teaches you of all the truth. He says, and there is no lie, for the truth is in him. Look at the absolute statement. Say, I know the things of God. Say, I know the things of God. That means it's a lie to say you do not know God's leading. It's a lie. You believe the lie. You actually know it. You know it. John is absolute. Paul is absolute. We are in the light. You know it. What is happening is that you are juggling what God said and what you thought. Or what you wanted. You know it. You have an unction from the Holy One. You know all things. You can detect falsehood. Say, I detect falsehood. God did not birth spiritual invalids. He birthed us perfect. So you can detect falsehood. When a voice of the devil comes, you know it. When a voice of the flesh comes, you know it. See, you can detect falsehood. When someone, see, that phone call of, I always ask people, when they had a friend, maybe they got into a wrong marriage, wrong relationship, wrong friend, wrong everything, wrong ministry, wrong, I always ask them something. I am absolutely sure that some point, either at the beginning or somewhere along the line, you knew. You knew it. If you didn't know it, you were not born again. You knew it. Because you are born of God. And oftentimes, it will come back again. You knew it. You knew it. The reason is that oftentimes, we deaden that witness. Like I did. I just said, look, I'll just do this. But I just believe somebody prayed for me. I just said, no. Don't go that route. Don't go that route. Don't go that route. Don't go that route. This is where some believers will be somewhere. But deep down their hearts, they are not happy. What they are doing is making people happy, but they are not. What's the reason? They actually went in the flesh. So, always know that you know. You know. You know. Let's begin to close here. Remember something that Samuel told Saul. Saul, now the king, in 1 Samuel 15:22. And he said to him, he said, to obey is better than sacrifice. To hearken than the blood of bulls and goats. Activities really don't take the place of obedience. To obey is better than speaking in tongues. To obey is better than evangelism. I've seen people say, I know what to do. I know what to do. There was a guy who told me that. I said, come here, sit down there. I said, what I'm about to say, you may not like it. But God used me to take you out of the kingdom of darkness. I know when you were in the kingdom of darkness, in the kingdom of light. I said, what you just said now, I know what to do. I was the one who told you now. He said, yes. So, why not just listen to what I'm saying? Spend time and pray. Prayer cannot be wrong when you are about to find out. However, when you are praying, when you already know the truth, you are praying in disobedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. To hearken than the blood of bulls and goats. One thing I'll tell you is this. Everything that God leads you to do has men in it. It has men in it. Men and women. Men and women are in it. Men and women are in it. And in being led by the Spirit, learn to also walk in the Spirit. Yeah, men and women are in it. Specifically, separate me Barnabas and Saul, Acts 18:2. Very specific. God led Jesus, the Father led Jesus to pick the 12. He picked them. Paul. You know, there are names, people. And God leads that way. And so, learn to stay in that place of obedience. Alright, I wrote something. Probably I'll talk about this later. Yeah. Let me just tell you my own. Now, there are three books I read often. Three. And I made a decision way back in 1996 to read it all the time. Was it 5 or 6? 1 or 2 years. How to be led by the Spirit of God. Following God's plan for your life. And Pastors and Possible Brother Hagin. I discovered something. That, now I'm not rating the books, but I'll tell you what I discovered. How to be led gives you that information about the inward witness, all of that. I will have the information. Yes, that's the inward witness. I will know it. But the other two books are actually the ones that make me obey. Following God's plan has quite a number about consecration. Plans was an apostle about just obeying God. And I now found out that knowing the series on the leading of the Spirit, right, and not taking heed to facts about consecration and obedience in season out of season, knowing the leading of the Spirit is a waste. Because it's really the obedience that's the key thing. Knowing how God speaks, how He leads, is not as important as now obeying it. The real issue is obeying it. That's the real issue. So I must not read to know alone. I must read to obey. There is an attitude you must have. Let me say this, and it will bless you. God's leading just like everything he has ever done, is always about his son, Jesus Christ. I can readily discern leading by seeing the son. It's about his son. God hasn't led anyone outside the purpose of his son. Not in the earth. Not in the earth. He worketh all things, Ephesians 1:11, after the counsel of his will, his own will. It's in his son. All things work together for good to them who love God. Romans 8:28. And to them who are called according to his purpose. To whom that he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Those that he called. He says he justified. Those he justified, he glorified. Those that he glorified. He says, what are we saying to these things? If God be for us, who shall be against us? He who spared not his own son, but delivered him us for us all. Shall he not with him freely give us of all things? Everything is about his son. All his leading in the Old Testament, in the four Gospels, in the book of Acts, in the epistles, is all around his son. So as I keep feeding on the son, and seeing him as Lord in scripture, Lord in my life, I'm also learning to obey his voice. I must know this. I want us to, I've just led to say this to us. I want us to be more prayerful in staying in the will of God. Why did I take up this series at this time? And I'm still going to talk about some other things. Because some of us might stray and stray far. So it's good to hear this now. You know that, yeah. I know you know the inward witness. You know the audible voice of the Spirit. You know about prophecies. But you know what? They are all for one purpose. Obey God. Obey God. And obeying God might just be continue to do what you are doing. Most of the time. We're in a world and age that like new things. I said, okay, I was talking about the fellow that said, let's do short things, short clips. I said two things. Number one, God didn't call me to encourage people in their carnality. That's one. Two, God didn't tell me to do that. One of the men that I love the most, and I dare say he's quite a model and hero, is Kenneth E. Hagin. I look at his life and certain things he said, they told him to go on television, he said, God didn't tell me. And people were on TV, he said, God didn't tell me. He said, can you go around the world? Everyone wanted him, he said, God didn't tell me to travel. He said, before I go, I'm going to have to pray about it. There was a preacher like that who was invited to preach. He's one of Brother Higgins' sons. He said, I'll have to pray about it. The guy said, when should I check back? He said, don't put pressure on me. Don't put pressure on me. Don't call me. Don't call me. I'm the one that will get back to you. Don't call me. That's why you text me. Sir, has God spoken? Sir, what has God said? Sir, we have bought the ticket. Sir, everybody is ready. Sir, everybody is here. Sir, you are the one that said we cover the earth. We are part of the earth. No. Don't put pressure on me. Don't tell me. I'll be the one to get back to you. And then he called back. He said, God told me not to come. Not for anything. He now came to that same country and came for a lesser church, a lesser ministry. And you know what the man did? When they told him the invite, when he said, I'm coming to preach for you, the guy said, yes, okay. He now called the hotel. They wanted to book for him. He paid. He paid. He flew in by himself. He came to the church meeting. You know, he now asked them, what do you guys have? He said they wanted to buy a generator, bicycle, and so he gave them. They gave him an honorarium. He put it together, handed over $100,000 and sent it back. They asked him, sir, we have this dinner for you. He said, I didn't come to eat dinner. That's Brother Higgins' son. That's how they talk. He said, I didn't come, I came to preach. I came to preach. If you call me to come and preach for you, I won't go for shopping. If you call me to come and preach, if I have someone in that city who is a relative, I won't visit the person. I won't come and check you. No, I won't. No. When I'm done, I fulfilled why I came. Such little things are important. You went somewhere to preach. You are brought 10 times to visit everybody. You are not just led by the devil, it's devils. Learn to obey. So he came, just gave, and he left. So I've just led to come here. I wasn't led to go there. Those ones have more money. They have more crowd, more clout. He said, no, I was led to come here. I like hearing things like that. Oftentimes it takes years to see the impact. Many times when God is working on things, you may not see the things quickly, the fruit of it. It may take you years down the line. Let's get out of this result-oriented generation that quickly wants something to come out of it now. We're in a generation that don't like patience. They don't like to wait. Ah, no. They're like, no. Now. Now, talk Nadu. Suck it and do it now. No. God in himself is a patient God. And his children are patient. You see, I'm patient. I know how to follow God. It might appear slow, but I follow his leading. Amen. Let's pray in tongues. The teaching says, are you listening to God's Spirit? Or are you listening to Facebook? Are you listening to Instagram? Are you listening to your friend on WhatsApp? Are you listening to TV programs? Are you listening to the Spirit of God? Trust the voice that has led you still. Pray in the Spirit.